You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I am Susie. We are the host of Sinister Junk Mail Podcast.
We get together every week to talk about ghosts, aliens, murder, and all the other spooky stuff out there.
We dive into the topics that make you want to lock every door in your house and sleep with the lights on. Oh, and don't forget the blanket rule. Whatever's outside of the blanket can be grabbed by a demon.
We investigate all of the hard-hitting subjects like, where do we go when we die? Why does every serial killer have mommy issues? And why do aliens go for the butt every single time?
We occasionally share our own paranormal experiences, and we encourage our listeners to send us their stories as well so we can feature our favorites on the show.
Through our lack of filter and at times abrasive comedy, we put a fun twist on dark topics.
But we will ensure that you walk away from the episode filled with interesting but sometimes useless knowledge,
which makes you an absolute delight at parties.
Join us every Wednesday for your dose of weekly weirdness.
Sinister Junk Mail can be found wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Am I Old Yet? The world of Helen Doherty, 78 years old, just discovering that she's got superpowers. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to episode 73 of the Forgotten News Podcast.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hey there, this is Kit Karen.
Okay.
Listeners, you might remember that during the worst months of the COVID pandemic, back in 2020 and 2021, we often started our episodes with a lot of chit-chat, either catching up with each other or giving health and safety warnings to our audience before getting into our featured story. But lately, we've tried to get to our main story as quickly as possible to make up for the fact that our episodes have been released kind of irregularly this year.
The thing is, because our focus is obscure stories from history, sometimes it takes a long time to pull all the information together for any given story that we are presenting to you. And for that reason, among others, we don't want to keep you waiting any longer than what is absolutely necessary.
So, listeners, let's just dive in.
But, as usual, we will start with a short advisory regarding our featured topic, because we do not want to trigger any type of negative emotional reaction among our listeners.
We will be presenting the story of the very strange disappearance of a young female Navy officer approximately half a century ago. She seems to have vanished without a trace.
There will also be a brief mention of suicide.
So, if you are of a nervous or sensitive disposition, or get frightened easily, we advise you calmly but sincerely to simply turn off this episode now.
In addition, we do not recommend this story for children under the age of 14.
Since it could easily be much too scary for young ears, parental discretion is strongly advised.
And with all of that having been said,
on with the show. Our story begins on April 5th, 1945, with the birth of Elaine Faye Lehtinen, and it ends in June of the year 1976, when Elaine seems to have vanished into thin air. But in between those dates, she had lived a very remarkable life. Now, if you are a regular listener to this podcast, then you will know that we normally feature stories that are much older than this one. However, because there is extremely little information about this unusual disappearance, and it's not like it happened last week, we're telling this story as kind of a public service and in the hope that it might trigger a clue or a memory towards solving the mystery. So, on that note, let's begin at the beginning. Now, unfortunately, there is very little that is known about the childhood and early life of Elaine Lehtinen, other than that she was originally from Wisconsin. But in the year 1963, she was living in Tucson, Arizona with her parents when she decided to join the U.S. Navy. She quickly became an outstanding recruit by receiving the highest scholastic average in her class, for which she was awarded a special commendation during the graduation ceremony at the U.S. Naval Training Center in Bainbridge, Maryland. Now, at some point, Elaine decided to stay in the Navy as a career, and in 1976, she was serving as a chief warrant officer stationed at Mare Island in Vallejo, California. Unfortunately, there is not much background information available regarding Elaine. However, there are a few unique things which stand out. First, she had a strong talent for sharpshooting. By 1966, when she was only 21, she was among the top 100 sharpshooters in the U.S., and was the very top among female Navy shooters. She was the first woman to earn a spot on the U.S. Navy sports rifle team. She appears to have had few living relatives, and none of them lived in California. She never married, and according to some sources, Elaine did not ever have any serious romantic relationships while in the Navy, even though she was very well liked by all who knew her. But according to other sources, she had dated a few men over the years. And in fact, she had just broken up with a guy shortly before her disappearance. 10 years later, in 1976, Elaine was 31 years old. She was a good, reliable officer with no financial worries and who was very happy with her military career. In fact, she was on track to become a lieutenant commander, which was a very uncommon rank for a woman during that time period. But not everything was sunshine and roses for Elaine Lehtinen. In May 1976, Elaine's mother committed suicide. But fortunately, Elaine appeared to handle this tragedy fairly well. For example, soon after, she began the process of updating her will because she had previously named her mother as her sole beneficiary. Unfortunately, it is unknown who Elaine was planning to name as the new beneficiary or how much money or insurance Elaine had. However, since this is the story of a disappearance, let's move on to that. At about 8 p.m. on Monday, June 14th, 1976, Elaine was watering plants in her front yard in Napa Valley, California, when two girls, Vicky Hart and Sue Dreisbach, who lived in her neighborhood, rode their bikes past Elaine's house. The girls, who Elaine knew personally, shouted hello when they saw her, but Elaine didn't respond, which was unusual for her, particularly because one of the girls lived next door. In fact, later the same year, in a newspaper interview, Vicky stated, quote, "We thought it was strange that she didn't say anything," unquote. These two girls were the last known people to see Elaine Lehtinen. There are some sources that say the next day, when Elaine failed to show up for her job at the Mare Island Naval Facility, that she was reported as being AWOL. In other words, absent without official authorization. But this rumor does not appear to be true. Instead, her supervisor was immediately worried about Elaine because it was so unlike her. He was very concerned that something bad might have happened to her. So he quickly called a neighbor and requested that he check on her. This neighbor found that all the doors to her home were locked. Then, when Elaine failed to answer the doorbell or his loud knocks on the door, he called the police and made a missing person report. When officers arrived at the scene, they found an open, unlocked window that enabled them to enter the home. The house was in perfect order. Elaine's car and bicycle were in the garage. Her uniform was clean and set aside to be worn. Her purse and keys were on the kitchen counter, along with a bag of groceries. She had already put together a brown bag lunch for the following day, which was also in the refrigerator. The dirty dishes from a one-person dinner were in the sink. Her bed was not yet made. The police crime scene investigators found that the kitchen countertop had been thoroughly cleaned, except for one unidentified fingerprint. Unfortunately, the police were unable to determine if the print belonged to Elaine, because the Navy later notified the police that they did not have Elaine's fingerprints on file. They claimed that her fingerprint card had somehow been lost. A book of Navy regulations was found on a table. It was open to the section on the procedure for court-martials. It is unknown if this had any significance or was just something random. However, there's also a theory that Elaine might have been planning to file charges against someone, and perhaps that person retaliated against her. Now, one thing that the police investigators found to be very strange was the fact that they found no guns, rifles, or any other firearms anywhere within the house. This was extremely odd because of Elaine's skills with guns and that she was known to spend time at gun ranges and other similar facilities. In addition, according to witnesses, there was another possible clue regarding the disappearance. Around 9:30 p.m. on June 14, 1976, a blue car was seen going up her driveway. Someone got out of the car, went to her front door, and then the car drove off again a few minutes later. This person has never been identified. The disappearance of Elaine Lettinen quickly became one of those cases that ignited a handful of stories in the local newspapers and then vanished from memory, just as quickly as Elaine vanished from the earth. Some people believed that she had committed suicide in some unknown location, but the police detectives quickly ruled that out because Elaine was busy making plans for the future. And by all accounts, she was entirely happy with her life. In addition, she was always ultra-organized and would definitely pull all of her affairs in order if she were to decide to kill herself. The boyfriend of Elaine's mother commented that Elaine would never have committed suicide because she was too selfish. This strange remark was apparently the result of a grudge from the fact that Elaine had given him nothing from her mother's estate. In 1984, a private investigator who had previously been a Navy officer conducted a pro bono search into the mystery. He later said he found a person whom he believed to be a serious suspect, but he did not uncover enough evidence to bring a charge to the police. This investigator also stated his belief that Elaine had been murdered and buried somewhere within 50 miles of Napa. But Napa County District Attorney James Boitano had a more exotic theory for Elaine's disappearance. Specifically, that she might have been part of some U.S. government spy program. After all, Elaine was a person with no strong ties to anyone. So for that reason alone, she would have been an ideal person to take on a new identity. In a 1979 interview, Boitano said, quote, "I think the CIA or someone may be involved with this one," unquote. Now, if for some unknown reason, the Navy knew more about the disappearance of Elaine Lettinen than they had said at the time, that silence has not ended. They remain tight-lipped right up to the present day. At the time of her disappearance in 1976, Elaine was 31 years old. 5 feet tall, weighed 110 pounds, with brown hair, blue eyes, and moles on her left breast and on the other side of her neck. In 1982, she was declared legally dead. a public administrator had been previously appointed to distribute or dispose of her assets. And that is all that is publicly known in regard to the mysterious disappearance of Elaine Faye Lehtinen.
Well, that's the end of our featured story. And by the way, thank you, Kit, for doing a really good job of telling it. Because, man, it was a wild story.
It's just crazy. There are so many things that make you think, wait, what? For example, the police detectives find a kitchen countertop that has been 100% cleaned, except for one fingerprint. And they say they don't know if it belongs to Elaine, because the Navy can't find her fingerprint card. But since that fingerprint is inside Elaine's house, it makes you wonder, didn't the cops examine the rest of the house for fingerprints? Didn't they look for something that she obviously would have touched to find a match? Or maybe the desk at her job?
It seems, at least to me, like that would have been a relatively easy way to find Elaine's fingerprints and then to see if there was a match to the print that was found on the countertop.
Here's another thing to wonder about. Specifically, the lack of any weapon in the house. This is pretty strange because sharpshooting and target practice was a very serious hobby for her. And honestly, she was in the Navy. There would have been guns. So, did someone break into the house, steal the guns, and kidnap Elaine?
Also, did the cops investigate anyone that she might have recently had a falling out with? Such as, for example, the guy that Elaine allegedly had recently broken up with. Or maybe her late mother's boyfriend, who clearly had a grudge against Elaine for not giving him a share of her mother's estate.
Well, obviously, we don't know the answers to these questions, but they are definitely food for thought, particularly since there is very little information available on the internet in regard to this case.
Well, for example, I was only able to find one other podcast that had covered this case, and it has been defunct since May of 2020. It had two episodes about the story, but they are no longer available online.
However, the disappearance of Elaine Lehtinen is still an open case with the Napa Valley Police Department, and they have stated that they would be happy to have any clues or information that you might have. The phone number is 707-257-9223.
But, listeners, we need to underline something that is very important. Please, please do not call unless you have actual clues or information.
In other words, do not call if all you have is theories, opinions, or psychic visions. But with that being said, we will repeat the police phone number. 707-257-9223. So on that note, we will now move on to our regular segment, Police Blotter and Court News. Except, we are not actually going to have that segment on this episode.
Unfortunately, it took so much time to research and write our featured story that we simply ran out of time to put together a solid police blotter segment. So, instead, we are going to feature an episode of an old-time radio series called Incredible But True from the year 1950. It is approximately the same length as a typical segment of the police blotter.
The episode is titled Beware My Son, and it is a dramatized version of a true crime story that happened approximately a century ago. And with all of that having been said, here it is.
In the records of the American criminal courts, we might expect to find stirring stories of human conflict. And indeed, in the official files of the Criminal Court of Illinois, there is such a story. It appears in the verbatim report of the case of the State versus Carl Wanderer.
In the year 1915, the Wanderer family, mother, son, and daughter, were living together in a small Midwestern town. On a certain winter night in that year, the house was plunged in darkness and heavy silence. And then suddenly, a blood-curdling scream came from Mrs. Wanderer's room.
It's all right, Carl. Nothing to worry about. Mother had a bad dream. You go on back to bed. She insists she's got to tell me all about it.
Even before Carl Wanderer had reached his bedroom door, he could hear his mother's voice. Her words were unintelligible. And so, his curiosity aroused, he sat on the edge of his bed, waiting until his sister came back down the hall.
What was it all about, Mary?
I'd rather not tell you, Carl.
It was only a dream, wasn't it?
Yes, but... Well, I'd still rather not.
The next morning, Carl waited rather impatiently for his mother to come down to breakfast. But she failed to appear at the usual time, and finally, both he and his sister went up to her room to awaken her. When there was no answer to their knocking, they opened the door and stepped into the room together.
Good Lord! She's dead!
In 1920, 5 years later, Carl had married and was living with his wife in Chicago. But it was a marriage doomed from the beginning. On the night of June 21st, his wife came home to find him waiting for her at the door.
Don't tell me where you've been or what you've been doing. I don't want any explanations. I'm fed up with you. I hate you. I tell you, I hate you!
Carl Wanderer was charged with murder in the first degree. Among the witnesses who appeared in his defense was his sister Mary.
Carl was a wonderful boy. That's why Mother's dream didn't make any sense.
Mary described how, on that night 5 years before, she had found her mother crying bitterly in her sleep.
Mother, you're having a bad dream.
Oh, it was only a dream.
Of course, darling.
Oh, it was horrible. Mary, I thought Carl was being hanged.
Oh, Mother.
I saw it all, Mary. They led him from his cell, and he stood on the scaffold, and they put a black cap over his face, and then the trap door opened, and he dropped through.
Carl Wanderer was led from the cell to the scaffold. A black cap was placed over his face. The trapdoor opened, and he plunged downward to his death. His mother's prophetic dream had been fulfilled. A dream incredible, but true.
We hope you enjoyed our presentation of Beware My Son, a 1950 episode of the old-time radio series Incredible But True. Now, as we mentioned, we featured this today as a substitute for our police blotter and court news segment, which we were simply unable to put together in time for this episode of our podcast.
We may also do this substitution in the future on other occasions when an unexpected time crunch gets in the way of producing a police blotter segment.
Next, with that out of the way, we will move on to our recommendation and advice segment. And on this segment, Jim and I will each give a suggestion to you, our listeners, that we think might enhance your life in one way or another. And on this episode, I will go first, followed by Jim. So on today's recommendations and advice segment, I want to recommend a TV series. It's an English thriller series that you can find on Netflix. It's called Fool Me Once. And it's an amazing crime story. I think it has some crime elements in it. Well, it definitely has some crime elements in it. And it actually reminds me a lot of my life. Yeah. Weirdly enough. Definitely amazing and God. Yeah. It's just definitely something that you should check out. It's only it's a limited series. There's only 8 episodes and each episode is less than an hour. So it'll give you something to do. Enjoy it.
Hi, listeners. I recently happened to see this quote from an author named Khalil York, and I really like it. I think it's good advice, and here it is. Choose to see the best in people, but don't expect them to always be that way, because we're human, and we mess up. And that is the end of the recommendation and advice segment for this episode.
But listeners, if you have a suggestion or something that you would like us to mention on this segment, just send us an email. And if it's a good recommendation, we'll pass it along to our audience.
And listeners, thank you in advance for doing that.
And on that note, we will now move on and share a few random housekeeping type things. First, we absolutely love hearing from you directly. So if you have any comments, suggestions, or other feedback, simply send an email to forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com.
We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Just use the search feature and you'll find us.
Now, listeners, just in case you might want to contact and interact with me personally, well, you can. I am on X, formerly known as Twitter. My handle on there is @KitKaren. And just to make your life a little easier, I will now spell that for you. @KitKaren. I also have a page on Facebook. You should be able to find it by using the Facebook search engine. Just be careful because there are a few other people with similar names. There's also a link in the show notes in case you get lost while trying to find me. Feel free to give me your comments, compliments, or criticisms on Twitter or Facebook in regard to anything on today's episode, or the podcast in general, or me. I am always completely open and willing to hear from any of our listeners. Just don't be salty or mean or creepy. So, in other words, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Give and take. After all, that's the way relationships are supposed to work. Isn't it?
Now, listeners, as we have said on previous episodes, we truly like hearing from you.
We honestly mean that. We really, really do. So please feel free to contact us through any of the ways that we've mentioned.
Although we are currently thinking about leaving Twitter, also known as X, because it's become kind of a cesspool since Elmo took it over. We'd appreciate any suggestions as far as a good alternative to Twitter.
Yes, absolutely.
And with that being said, it's time to wrap up the episode.
But wait, there's more. Remember, history is no mystery.
And on that note, goodbye, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. We'll be back next month. Hang in there. Dum, dum, da, dum, dum. La, 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 ba, ba, bum, bum, bum. This episode was recorded before a live audience of
us.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
Sometimes the idea of something is better than the thing itself. That's normal. Sometimes things just get off to a slow start. Just keep at it, and you'll fall in love with it again. Just like when you fell in love with me.